Welcome to Sermons by Brad Tuttle. We are so glad you decided to join us today. We know you're going to be encouraged, inspired, and challenged by this powerful sermon. Going to be in Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to be reading verses 12 and 13. Philippians 2, 12 and 13, title is Keep At It. It's a profound message. It's an essential message for our spiritual growth, and out of it, we're going to look at five real simple principles out of these two verses today. So it's very simple. I'll give you some points to write down. First of all, let's read this together today. Apostle Paul, greatest Christian that ever lived, many say, wrote these words in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. He said, "Therefore, my beloved," so he's talking to believers, "as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence," here comes one of the most misinterpreted verses in the Bible, "work out your own salvation," many people stop there, "with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure." This is one of the most important passages in the New Testament about sanctification. Sanctification is a big theological word that means growing in your Christian maturity. Sanctification is part of God's will for us. It says in 1 Thessalonians 4:3, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification," "that you abstain from sexual immorality." For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality. So look at what he connects to sanctification. That's an aspect of it. So it's a state, sanctification, a state of being separated unto God. Do we become sanctified the moment we get saved? Yes. We initially become what first? Justified. So justification happens at the initial moment of conversion, and then sanctification starts, right? How many of y'all changed the moment you got saved? Oh, please tell me you did. Doesn't mean we ever get to perfection while we're in this human body, but we should be changing. Amen? So the moment we become born of God, we're in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, "You're in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption." So this sanctification mentioned is a once-forever separation of believers unto God. We are immediately separated unto God. We are not the same people we used to be. But the process and the journey doesn't stop there. It's a work that God performs. It's an intricate part of our salvation and our connection with Christ. This sanctification that we walk in, that we live in. The New Testament describes sanctification a lot of different ways. So we're going to hear phrases like becoming more Christ-like, imitating Jesus, following Jesus, looking more like Jesus, or displaying the fruit of the Spirit. Those all have to do with being sanctified or living in a journey of sanctification. Again, sanctification differs from justification. This is one of the things that always, I tell you, always excites me the most. The moment I came to Jesus, a lost sinner with no hope, I come to Christ on that Saturday, early Sunday morning. I confess Jesus as my Savior. I trust in Christ as my Savior. At that moment, Jesus stands up in the courtroom of heaven and says, I took his place. And God the Father says, declared not guilty. Amen. That's what justification is. I am at that moment saying, really? Yeah, at that moment. That's why I get excited about this, because I was declared not guilty. Then sanctification starts, and here comes the journey that we all are supposed to be on, that's supposed to be getting better or growing more. Amen? Supposed to be looking like we really were saved. Can somebody say amen to that? Justification is the starting point, and sanctification is the line that represents from initial to glorification. Y'all with me, right? So this is not just some concept that's out there. It's truth that we press deep down into our hearts. It's part of us, and it's a way that we live, showing that we are imitating Christ. And I will never be like Jesus, but my goal is to look like Him as much as I can. Act like Him, sound like Him, and talk like Him. Right? I want to be and imitate Christ. Somebody says, what's your goal in life? What a great goal. I want to imitate Jesus. It's not trying to be holier than thou. It's a biblical thing. I'm trying to be more Christ-like. That should be our goal, and that's what sanctification is. Paul says to the Philippians and to us, therefore, we love that word. Y'all know there's something happening there when you hear the word therefore. He says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence. So what is the therefore, therefore? Well, anytime you see a therefore, he is going to be referring back to something he just talked to you about. And what Paul's going to do here is exhort you on what he just discussed. In the middle section of the book of Philippians, he's now going to bring you an exhortation on what he just got done discussing. So his huge exhortation from Philippians 1:27 to Philippians 2:18 is simply this: conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So he has laid down that, and let me read that to you again, because I highlighted the word worthy. It says, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. In other words, we are to live a life that fits the gospel. We have this watered-down gospel today that just says, pray this little prayer and you're saved, or go to church and you're saved, or, you know, when people don't hear a clear gospel, when they don't hear that you were born into sin, lost, separated from God by your sin, and the only way to now get to God the Father, because you're separated from Him, the Son comes and dies upon the cross, and as a lost sinner, the only way to get to God the Father is you got to come through the cross. You got to come through Christ. Because without Christ, you stay lost. And without your lostness being dealt with, you die lost. It's not about being a good person. It's not about having religion. It's not about going to church every Sunday. It's not about giving money. It's all about whether you've come to the cross, recognize Christ as your Savior. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I'm a sinner. Forgive me. I confess before you that I am lost without you. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. And that comes from a heart that really believes you're now made right with the Father. When you understand that kind of a gospel, it makes sin seem a lot more. You understand what sin is a lot more. You understand what it can do, that it separates people from God. So we're supposed to be living a life that fits the gospel. Fits the gospel. That's worthy of the gospel. Are you living a life worthy of the gospel? Holy conduct. Really? Yeah, we're supposed to have a holy type of conduct. Are we perfect? No. If we make a mistake, yes, we come to Christ and ask Him to forgive us. But we are working at, and you're going to see, yes, working, yes. We're trying to strive to be more Christ-like. We don't want to look like the world. Because in the world needs Jesus. And if we don't look like Jesus changed us, then they're going to think, what do I need this Jesus for? We're supposed to be salt who never loses its flavor. And so then we're in the world and we're amongst that. We look like, man, they brought some flavor into this. Something different about that. That's the way we're supposed to live our lives. Is it easy? That's easier than a lot of us make it out to be. If you're praying every day and spending time with God, we can do this. And this is what Paul is doing here. He's doing what I'm doing to you. He's saying, you can do this. Keep doing this. So he's exhorting them. He's saying, in other words, you are to conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Therefore, keep at it like you've been doing, especially since I am not here with you. So he wrote him this letter. He's not there. He's saying, keep it up, boys. Keep up the good work. You're conducting yourself right. Keep at it. He He's saying to them, you guys have been really good at obeying what I have taught you from God's word. So now, right now, even though I'm not with you in person, continue to do the same thing. Continue living in a way that shows the gospel message transforms. The first principle is this. You got to write this down. The first principle is this. And if you write this down and you live your life according to this, you will be doing a good thing for yourself. The first principle is obedience is a natural, vital, and necessary part of the Christian life. Obedience should be a natural, vital, and necessary part of the Christian life. I know somebody can say amen to that. It's a natural, should be natural to us as believers to obey the Lord, amen? Vital and a necessary part of the Christian life. But then you're reading along, and the next thing you know, Apostle Paul is saying to us in verse 12, work out your own salvation. Work out your own salvation. Well, this is misinterpreted quite a bit. Work out your own salvation. So the second principle we learn here is, write this down, we are to be actively pursuing godliness in living the Christian life. We are to be actively, I bolded all those letters, we are to be actively pursuing godliness and living the Christian life. So he says, work out your own salvation. Be active. So in other words, we are not supposed to be passive in our journey with Christ or in our growth in godliness. It's not supposed to be, we're not supposed to be passive. We're supposed to be actively. Here's the thing. You're not going to wake up in the morning and the Holy Spirit makes you do everything. I pursue. I choose to wake up in the morning and to live Christ-like. That's on me. He'll give me the strength to do it, but I make that decision. I am responsible to choose to do what is right. 1 Thessalonians 4:4 says, each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable. So each one of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable. So we are responsible to actively pursue godliness. Continually, actively conducting ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Actively doing this. It's not just for the pastor. It's not just for the preacher. It's not just for the person in ministry. Imagine what the church could really do if everybody in the church was actively seeking after godliness. So therefore, keep doing good and working out your own salvation. And I want to be very clear about something because I've seen this and people have said these types of things. In this working at your own salvation, does it mean that we can somehow save ourselves by our own works? No. Does that mean we can do whatever we want to do because we're working out our own salvation? No. I work out my own salvation. In other words, I do what I want to do and what I think is right to work out my own salvation. That's not what that's saying. It says with fear and trembling. So we're supposed to be working out our sanctification, living this out before God and before people. So the stark contrast to this and what he's actually talking about is how to become more mature. How Christians pursue growing in greater godliness. What can I do to grow in greater? Doesn't mean you work it out any way you want. It means the exact opposite. It means you are to pursue godliness. So if you ever hear anybody out there say, hey, man, I work out my own salvation, say, no, well, no, you don't. You're misinterpreting that. You're supposed to, it's talking about pursuing godliness, not allowing ungodliness into your life because you're deciding to do what you want to do. Can you imagine if it was that way? I mean, why do any of this? Paul's message is not God accepts you, therefore, who cares how you live? Paul's message is, God accepts you, therefore change is now possible. God accepts you, therefore change is possible. So he's encouraging them, you can do this, you will make progress in driving sin from your life if you're obedient to do so. And he's telling them, keep at it. You're doing a good job, even when I'm not with you. So work out your own salvation or be active in your sanctification in a Christian life. We work so hard to be better at everything else. But, and I'm talking, I'm preaching to you, but we put this like down on the list when this should be the ultimate, this should be number one on the list. Working at being more godly. So the third principle. Then we read, and he says this, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Why am I supposed to be fearing and trembling? Well, let me talk to you about it. What's up with that? Work it out with fear and trembling. So this brings us to the third principle. Write down third principle. We are to be humble and God-fearing in living the Christian life. We are to be humble and God-fearing in living the Christian life. Is Paul telling us that he wants us to be neurotic and jittery in the presence of God all the time? No. What's the Old Testament image of a godly person? What phrase do we use? Fear the Lord. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The godly man fears the Lord. It's the word phobos, profound respect, awe and awe for deity, reverence and awe. So the Apostle Paul is simply telling us that we are to continue to obey, work out our sanctification in reverent humility before God. In reverent humility of the living God, continue to obey, work out our sanctification in reverent humility of the living God. We're to fulfill the command, work out your own salvation with the utmost seriousness. This is serious. To live this life, it's a serious thing. Yeah, we're saved by grace through faith. But there's work that we do as a believer after we're saved to live like Christ. And that's on us to wake up and I got to get into the Word today because the Word of God purifies me. It washes me. It transforms my mind. And I got to pray because I got to have a relationship with God the Father. So I got to spend time in prayer. If we're never in the Word and we're never praying and we never have a desire to grow in godliness, I hope you're saved. And if you are, man, come on. Paul's saying to the Philippian church and to us, keep on doing it. That's why he loved this church so much. Because of all the churches I think that he was over, this was the one that brought him great joy. Then he says in verse 13, for or because it is God who works in you. Now we're getting to one of my favorite aspects of this whole sermon. Continue to obey, work out your own sanctification, reverent humility of the living God, because God is at work in you. Someone says, well, why do I got to do it if he's already in there doing it? Because the way it works is he's in there doing it to help you do it. So you don't have to do this alone. So the fourth principle is God is at work in you to encourage you in this. God is at work in you to encourage you in this. And this is what encourages me so much. Paul says, do this because God himself is already at work in you so that you will want to do it, continue to do it, and so that you will do it for his good pleasure in you. That's awesome to me that God is in me, working in me, but at the same time, it's still my responsibility to work at this myself. But he's in there helping me. If you read this in the Greek, you'll see he's saying it in the present tense. Why is that a big deal? Because he's saying that I'm at work in you now to change you. In other words, he's always there with us, helping us to change. But while he's there with us, always helping us to change today, we today make a decision ourselves to continue to change. Y'all don't want to be like you are now a year from today. We're already, believe it or not, we're already halfway done with the year. We're coming into fall. Yeah. Have you grown in your Christ-likeness since January? Have you applied yourself any more at all to live a life? Is your life showing that you are different in Christ now than it was in January? We get really sluggish in this, and we get really lazy in this. But it's something that we need to pick up the pace if we need to pick up the pace. It's not just about saying we're saved. It's not just about saying what church you go to. We're supposed to be living a life that shows that Jesus did something for me. He really transformed me. Y'all with me today? Apostle Paul is simply saying to us, child of God, he's not finished with you yet. Somebody say amen to that. He's at work with you, in you, and for you. For whose pleasure? For his pleasure. Because it's all about his pleasure. We live our life for his pleasure. He saved you for his pleasure. He didn't have to save you. He could have left you your entire life not saved. But he does it for his good pleasure. Somebody ought to rejoice over that. I cannot imagine a more comforting and encouraging thing to know that as I pursue godliness in Christ and this Christian life, that God is not done with me yet. We're told to pursue. What does pursue mean? You're supposed to run after it. We're supposed to be pursuing this. Jesus pursued your salvation by being flogged and beaten to death so that you could come to Christ through him and find salvation. Why do we ever let ourselves be lazy about this? Amen? We're supposed to be pressing into this, pursuing sanctification, pursuing Christ-likeness, because God, by his Spirit, is in us, helping us. We have to put in our effort, and he will be there along the way to help us. Amen? And this brings us to the last phrase in verse 13, because it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So the fifth principle we learn from this passage is that God's work leads us to greater godliness. He's equipping you. He's working in you to do what is well-pleasing in his sight, great godliness. But it requires our effort. He's equipping us. He's working in us to do what is well-pleasing in his sight. We can't do this 1 week and expect it to work for us the rest of the year. Here's the thing. We're supposed to be working at this every day of our Christian life. But what are the benefits of it? It's not just to benefit me and my walk with God. It's going to benefit my wife if I do this. Because the more I walk in pursuing sanctification, the more it's going to bless my marriage. The more my home is going to be filled with peace. And ultimately, it's going to bless you. And ultimately, it's going to bless every unsaved person I'm around. Because something is going to glow from my life, hopefully, that says Jesus has changed me. And that all comes from pursuing sanctification, trying to be more like Jesus. We'll never be like him, but it's a lifelong pursuit of trying to be more like him. Salvation is a one-time act. Sanctification is a continuing, lifelong process. Pursue it. It is a driving passion to be more like Jesus.
Thank you for joining us at Sermons by Brad Tuttle. We pray this sermon blessed you, encouraged you, inspired you, and challenged you in your walk with Christ. Thank you for being with us, and come back and visit us anytime. God bless you.